my dear brothers and sisters and friends and those from overseas. It's a real privilege to be with you this afternoon, and hopefully we're going to have some encouraging time, with this household at Bethany. Now, the first question I'd like to ask you, have you ever wondered, have you ever pondered how Jesus first met this household, Mary, Martha and Lazarus, at Bethany? Because we're not told, are we? And we're not told about the background concerning that relationship that Jesus formed with these three very faithful characters. The first incident is the section that we've just read in Luke's gospel record. And there we find that Martha, when Jesus was there in Bethany, she greets him and opens up her house to him. Now, why do you think that that is the case? And what a level of generosity. There was the Lord Jesus Christ with 12 of his disciples, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were all opening up their home to 13 individuals that presumably they didn't know that well. Or is that the case? Did they know them well? And the other thing that is quite unusual in the account is that we see, don't we, that Mary, Martha and Lazarus, that there's no record, is there, of them being married. They were individuals serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and they weren't married. And that, as a Jewish custom, was very unusual, wasn't it? Most men and women were married at the age of 20 or thereabouts. And so surely then, as brothers and sisters, we have that thought-provoking question that we need to ask ourselves, why? Was there ever any reason why these three individuals, these faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, were not married at this time? Now, many things have been written about these three characters, but I just want to put a suggestion to you that when you go into Mark's gospel record, it mentions that when Jesus visited these three individuals, it was in the house of Simon the leper. You may have considered this before. But one suggestion, which I believe is a good one, and it's a helpful one, as we think of the background concerning this relationship, was that Simon the leper may well have been the father of these three individuals. And if that's the case, because of the marginalisation of lepers at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there may have been a natural reason why these three individuals were not married. But there's also another very interesting case. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in the 1930s, there was a scroll within the Dead Sea Scrolls called the Temple Scroll. And some further additional information was provided about this place called Bethany, where these three people lived. And I'm going to read these words to you. So it's in the Temple Scroll, and it was said, a quote, "You shall make three areas to the east side of the city, divided one from another, for lepers, those suffering from a flux, and men who had an emission." So these were found in the original Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was an additional commentary concerning the east side of the city. Now, the reason why leper colonies were placed in the east side of the city of Jerusalem was that at the time there was a strong feeling, a strong consensus, that leprosy could be carried via wind. And the prevailing winds in Jerusalem are westerly. They go from the west to the east. And so the rabbis wrote that anyone who was a leper, they were not allowed to stand to the east of a leper because of the risk of contamination. Now, that is very interesting, isn't it? Because Bethany, at the side of the Mount of Olives, is to the east of the city. And so then, the house of Simon the leper may well have been in a leper colony. And if this had been the case, brothers and sisters, and it's just a suggestion to help us to understand some of the context and the background, you imagine what the leaders of Israel would have felt seeing the Lord Jesus Christ going into this place in the house of Simon the leper, in a leper colony, and particularly in his final time when he went into the house. A week later, he would go into the city of Jerusalem, perceived to be the holy city the Lord Jesus Christ would have been seen as contaminated, wasn't he? And so he compounds that he had come to save sinners. He was the surgeon. And so another suggestion has been made, and I also find this quite a helpful one. When we said at the outset, why do we find these three characters sincerely following the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if it was Simon the leper who was the father of these three individuals, and the Lord Jesus Christ had healed him, don't you think that Mary, Martha and Lazarus would have been overjoyed at the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so a friendship was formed. So just some thoughts, they're not in the scriptural record, but I don't think we can fail to consider those when we think of the timing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because particularly in his final time when he goes there, the time was poignant. Now we read throughout the gospel record that Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus, and there wasn't a home in the nation of Israel that gave him such love and comfort and consolation, particularly as he set his face to Jerusalem and he thought about the agony of the cross. These three friends were constantly supporting the Lord Jesus Christ and succoring him throughout all the times of his anxiety. Now, there are three accounts that we read of these three individuals. The first one we've had read, it's in Luke chapter 10. And in our second half, God willing, we will consider the final two. It's in John chapter 11, the resurrection of Lazarus, and John chapter 12, a week before the crucifixion, when you have that very moving moment when Mary breaks an alabaster of ointment and she anoints the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin then in Luke chapter 10. And as we glance down verses 38 to 42 that we've already read, again, it's quite helpful to remember the meanings of the names of these three characters, because I feel they come out very strongly in the accounts. Martha's name means the lady of the house, and you'll see her throughout our consideration this afternoon, that she's there busy, organizing things. She was a domestic woman. Mary means the wise woman, and we will see her constantly at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lazarus, the one who received the resurrection of the dead, means God has helped. And God had helped him to come forth from the tomb after the fourth day. And we'll see the meanings of these names and how they resonate throughout all the interactions with the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, Luke chapter 10 then, and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So we find then that Jesus makes his way to Bethany to stay with his three friends. And there Martha, she greets him and she's overjoyed. She's thrilled that the Lord Jesus Christ is spending time within her home. That word receive there, she received him into her house, literally means to take with the hand. I feel that that captures really very vividly how she felt about the Lord Jesus Christ. She greeted him by the hand and she brought him in. What a moment in the lives of these three characters, having the Son of God within their midst. Verse 39 then, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, when we look at Mary here, we'll find throughout in Luke chapter 10, in John chapter 10 and 11, or 11 and 12, we will find that Mary is always at Jesus' feet. We'll always find Martha is on her feet, yet Jesus always finds Mary at his feet. And we'll see why in a moment. But I'd like to notice that phrase there, that she sat at Jesus' feet. What do we think that means? Well, keep a hand in Luke chapter 10. I'd like to go to Acts chapter 22 now. The Apostle Paul is found in Acts chapter 22, also at somebody else's feet. And it was a tradition, it was a custom. Here then it says, concerning the Apostle Paul, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye are all this day. So here the Apostle Paul was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was this great Judaistic teacher here, and Paul was a student. And the tradition was that all the students, all the pupils, sat at the rabbi's feet. And the very best student, the brightest student within the class, was the one that sat at the feet of the rabbi. So there, Mary is recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ, this one who was staying with them, was the chief rabbi, the Son of God, the Word made flesh. He was the rabbi and she was the pupil, but not any other pupil. She was the best pupil, or that's what she desired to be. She wanted to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul was the greatest student of Gamaliel, Mary, this is what she desired. She wanted to listen intently upon all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted to lap them up. She wanted to be the best scholar that Jesus had ever seen. That's the attitude, that's the spirit of Mary here in Acts chapter 22. Now, again, this is a phrase that we find throughout the scriptures. I'd like to look at another example. This concerns Elisha in 2 Kings in chapter 4. Now, when we think about Elisha, I'm sure that the school of the prophets spring to mind. And here, Elisha, the great teacher of Israel, after Elijah, we see how the school of the prophets here were sat in his presence. 2 Kings 4 and verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. So this is the school of the prophets. There they were being taught by Elisha, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, and they were sat before him. Now, something that we may not have noticed, I'd like you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 33, this wonderful prophecy of Moses. And here it speaks of the great judgments that will be poured upon the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater than Moses, from Deuteronomy chapter 18, will come. And look at the language here that is used. And these would have flooded through the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely Mary would have recognized the promise of the Messiah and his future work. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand with a fiery law for them. And that speaks of the great judgment, the multitudinous Christ. That's how we would understand it. Yea, he loved the people, verse 3, and all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. So here then, in verse 2, we have the 10,000 of saints that will bring judgment with the Lord Jesus Christ. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. The saints are in the Revised Version, you'll notice in verse 3, the holy ones, or the holiness in Hebrews. They are identified with the greater than Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ. They themselves as a unit are the holiness that will go forth. And what a wonderful vision of the kingdom we have here, brothers and sisters. If we've ever asked the question, how? How are we going to be taught in the kingdom of all the things relating to the creation of this earth and God's purpose with mankind and thinking beyond the 1,000 years? God's true revelation, here we have it in verse 3. We will sit at the Lord's feet, even with immortal bodies and minds that are not shackled with sin and death as they are today, we will sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Martha, in this wonderful scene in Bethany, she was recognizing that this was the one promised by Moses. And she identified herself with these verses, speaking about the future kingdom of God. Go back to Luke chapter 10. So there Mary then is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling that wonderful prophecy there in Deuteronomy chapter 33. But in contrast, we have Martha. Martha is always found on her feet. And there's the contrast. Martha's on her feet, Mary's at the feet of Christ. And verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. So as we've already said, Martha's always on her feet. You find that in John chapter 11. She's on her feet there. We'll see in our second half, God willing, and similarly in John chapter 12. And you can see in these verses that there's a degree of a resentment from Martha towards her sister Mary. There was the Lord Jesus Christ, this great visitor that had come and visited their home. And the Lord Jesus Christ was pouring the word of God out to this household. And there was Mary, sat at his feet. But there was a meal to be made. A special meal, for there was a special visitor with them that day. And you can feel, can't you, the frustration with Martha. She could see Mary, and there was no assistance there at all. And so she was clearly irritated. Now, some have said, with Martha there working hard in the kitchen, that it was an easy decision. It was an easy decision for Mary to come and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was all this work to be done, all this activity, yet Mary chose a simple thing, to sit there quietly at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you think that was an easy decision for her to make? She would have known that her sister would have resented her deeply by sitting there quietly listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you think she would have felt with the disciples looking at her with the roles and responsibilities of sisters within their homes? She would have known, wouldn't she, that they would have been passing judgment upon her as she sat there upon the floor listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a quality that sings forth of Mary. She knew that there would be resentment, but in her mind, nothing would come between her and the Master. This was a precious moment to have the Lord Jesus Christ within her home, and she was going to listen to every word that came forth from his lips. Look at a few chapters on in Luke chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to make a great lesson, and maybe he thought back to the account in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 14 then, and verse 26, Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the important exhortation for ourselves is that salvation is a very personal matter, isn't it? Mary knew this. Salvation is a very personal matter. And she knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was always about his Father's business. And so maybe she knew Jesus better than even his disciples, knowing that Jesus was all about his Father's business. So she listened to him about his Father's business, knowing that listening to him would give him great encouragement. Now going back to Luke chapter 10, you see there that Martha, again in contrast, was cumbered about much serving. She was cumbered. Now, again, and a question to ourselves, do we feel that our lives are like that at times? Do we feel that we are cumbered about with much serving? Jesus said to her, didn't he, that she was troubled. You see that in verse 41, Martha, thou art careful or anxious and troubled about many things. Do we find that we are like that? that our walk in the truth is impeded because we are troubled, we are anxious about many things. Now, to be anxious about some things is a good thing, isn't it? Because we are not relying on ourselves and we implicitly trust God to help us and to carry us. But to be overly anxious and to be troubled by many things is not good at all, is it, brothers and sisters? Because it becomes then a frustration. And we become disheartened. And we can so easily lose our faith. And so, brothers and sisters, though we are looking at two sisters here within this home, surely we see ourselves. In this world in which we live in, this fast world, we all can find ourselves being overly anxious, being cumbered about much serving. And so then this frustration of Martha, who was a wonderful, faithful sister that, God willing, we'll see as we develop our thoughts, her frustration overspills and she says to the Lord in verse 40, Lord, dost thou not care? I don't even have to complete the sentence, do I? Who was she speaking to? She was speaking to the Lamb of God. A man who is going to lay down his life for them. Their shepherd, and they were the sheep. And he loved them dearly. Yet she says to them, him, dost thou not care? Dost thou not care about what? What in her mind did the Lord Jesus Christ not care about? That my sister hath left me to serve alone. Do you see the personal pronoun that's used there? It's easy, isn't it, when we look at an isolated account. They were faithful friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ loved to be with them. But for that moment, Martha was consumed about herself. How often we find ourselves like that. We become inward looking. The Lord Jesus Christ, even when he was upon the cross in great agony, he was still thinking of others. There is the example, the supreme example. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Now we see there that that phrase, hath left, in the Revised Version, it means to leave, did leave. It really emphasizes the past tense. And so the words suggest that Martha was being assisted by Mary. Together they were preparing a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ in great anticipation for this supreme visitor that was going to visit their home. But as soon as Jesus entered the door, Martha recognized a different meal was being prepared, a spiritual meal, for there before them was the bread of life that came down from heaven. And anyone who would eat upon him, they would never die. And Mary knew this. And so she did assist Martha in all the preparation. But she got her priorities right. And as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ was there, she knew a greater meal was being prepared. And she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 41 then. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Again, look at the Revised Version. Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And we can see, can't we, the point that the Lord Jesus Christ was making here. Martha was troubled about many things, but Mary had peace with one thing. And what was that one thing that Mary had recognized the moment Jesus entered into the home? What was the meal, brothers and sisters? It was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the one thing. And so Mary was there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Martha was overcome with many things, preparing a meal, a sumptuous meal. But Jesus wasn't looking for that, was he? He appreciated that he was being supported by Martha, that she would provide for him a meal that would help him in these troubling times. But he much preferred them to be sat at his feet, listening to a meal that he had prepared for them, not a meal that Martha had prepared for him. But this is consistent, isn't it, with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, and I highlighted, didn't I, in the revised version, the word anxious or anxiety. Jesus could see in the heart of Martha that she was anxious. She was anxious about the natural things of this life. Though a spiritual woman, she was overly anxious for this split moment in time. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There was Mary sat at his feet, seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things, the natural things of this life, shall be added unto you. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And again in the revised version, take therefore no thought for the morrow, says, be not therefore anxious, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Again the revised version, for the morrow will be anxious for the things of itself. That word is being used, anxiety. Jesus had taught, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Martha would have recognized the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she'd known that Mary had picked the good part, the one thing. She had selected well and sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in his prayer, give us our day, our daily bread. But again, this was a teaching throughout the scriptures of truth. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Think about the children of Israel when they came out of the wilderness. They had to be faithful, didn't they? And God would provide for them. The lesson as they walked in the wilderness, if they were faithful, God would provide for them daily the manna and the quails. And their shoes would never wear out. This was the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ was making in the house of Bethany. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, says Moses, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. It speaks of the kingdom, doesn't it? For Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That summarizes the incident in Luke chapter 10. Jesus Christ was making it plain that man does not live by bread alone, the work that Martha was involved in, but by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the children of Israel, for those 40 years, they did not perish because God fed them naturally and spiritually. And so that's why, as brothers and sisters, we are not to be overly anxious with the things of this life, because the Lord God will provide for us from the Lord's mouth those things that pertain to everlasting life. Now remember, Mary chose the one thing, and it says the good part. The good part. I want to look at that word part, because the Apostle Paul picks it up in Colossians. And here's a lovely insight, I feel, into the mind of Mary. She chose the good part, and here the Apostle Paul chooses to use this word in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1. And I feel it beautifully summarizes the attitude of Mary here. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that word partakers is the same word as part. Now remember, Mary chose the good part. What is the good part? Well, we see in Colossians 1, verse 12, the good part is to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. She knew that listening to the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way in which she could receive the kingdom of God, through his word. And so she desired the good part. Look down in verse 13, who hath delivered us? So think about it. There, in front of Mary, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what Paul says here in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now we begin to recognize and appreciate that the awesomeness of that moment in time when the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, was there in front of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And there was Martha working hard in the kitchen, and before them in the home was the image of the invisible God. And Martha recognized this. And she wanted to listen to his words and become a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We're going to see some tremendous strengths in our second half relating to Martha. But I just want to go to a few references. Go back to Luke chapter 10. I just want to summarize now. A contrast is made, and hopefully we'll see in our second half that both of them learnt. They both learned from this first time that they had the Lord Jesus Christ within their home. And it helped them, and they became much stronger for it. But look at the first contrast that we have here concerning Martha and Mary. We see there in verse 40 that Martha was serving. You see that in verse 40? But in contrast, we see that Mary sat. See in verse 41 that Martha was troubled. But Mary, in a state of peace, had chosen the good part in verse 42. Notice this in verse 40. It says, Martha said. Mary doesn't open her mouth, does she? Verse 39, Mary heard his word. And Martha had many things in verse 41. And Mary had one thing. And there's an exhortation here, brothers and sisters, that just springs out of the page. Martha was working, wasn't she? She was serving the Lord. But she was being taught a very important lesson. You can only serve the Lord if you begin at his feet. That's an important lesson, isn't it? We can only do service in the truth, in the ecclesial household, if we sit at his feet and we listen to his word. And so our work then is motivated from the scriptures, from the word of life. We can't do work for the Lord Jesus Christ out of anxiety, out of the natural feelings within our heart, can we? That's just good works. But spiritual works begins when we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to go to a few references now before we conclude our first half. Mary had chosen the good thing. She had, and the good part. But Mary had to remember, she had to remember that it was Martha who served the Lord and served him a meal. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. You see the complementary characters that we find here between these two characters. Matthew chapter 25, and here it relates to the judgment seat. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of those who will receive words of affirmation that they have received the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 25 then, and a well-known section, but related to Martha. And Mary knew this. Verse 34 then of Matthew 25, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the hand that he blesses, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." These are all the qualities of Martha, weren't they? "Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye done it unto the one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So Mary was not to forget that, was she? That was the lesson that she was going to learn. But Martha, she had been told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself that she had to choose the good part and the one thing. I want to conclude in Proverbs 31. It's fitting, really. We're talking about sisters in Christ here, but there are exhortations for us all. And here we have the virtuous woman. And you see these characters of Mary and Martha complemented here in the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman who personifies wisdom. And look at this. Proverbs 31 then and verse 10, this rhetorical question. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now notice thou. Verse 26, and as we read verse 26, what do you think this verse summarizes in character here? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Surely this is an expression of Mary. She was the one who learned from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she too then had obtained this wisdom. But look at verse 27. Again, concerning the virtuous woman, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. That's what Martha was doing within the home. She was providing bread, wasn't she, for all the visitors there that day. 12 of the Lord's disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ, and her sister and her brother. But remember, this relates to the virtuous woman, who is wisdom. And surely the exhortation for us all, brothers and sisters, as we finish our first half, that it is only through God's wisdom first and foremost that we will get the balance in life. The balance between spiritual things and natural things in the service of our Lord. And Jesus Christ made that plain, didn't he? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you.